Welcome everybody to another episode of Kev's Perspective. I'm your host Kev Lowe, and today I had Jake and Joe from The Wiseman Show on my podcast. Who are they? These two guys are essentially hip-hop enthusiasts, it was what I want to call them. They are the ones that interview local Minnesota artists and creatives and kind of give Minnesota, like, you know, the point of view of who these people are. And the title is F Your Bag because all three of us think the same when it comes to the flaws with creatives in Minnesota saying that I'm going to go chase a bag, or I made a hit record, or, you know, I want to unite Minnesota, or I want to put us on the map. And we address some of these cliches that we all don't agree with, essentially. And we also talk a little bit about how Jake is obsessed with Rihanna. That's something that's a little interesting. And then we also talked about Kanye and other topics because these two are very big hip-hop enthusiasts. So I'll let you guys get right into it. Tune into the episode, and thanks for listening. Chia.
For that position. It looks great. Looks cool. Super.
Yeah, I'm live.
Let's fucking get it. All right, cool. I can take this shit off.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, guys.
Hey.
I'd like to welcome you, but you should welcome us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, well, I'll start it off. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Kev's Perspective. I'm your host, Kev Lowe, and today I am in a way different setting than I normally am. Today, I am in the Wiseman Show's podcast studio. What's up, guys?
What's going down?
Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome to your podcast.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. I wanted you guys on, though, very specifically, because I know I, like, went off on a tangent on the phone with you, Joe. Mm-hmm. But I want to specifically you on as well, because I know that you, when I watched that show, what you did with Brandon, mm-hmm. You were like, I'm going to cut the shit this year.
Yep.
And I appreciated that because I just told Joe, that's what me and Kato are all about, is cutting the shit. And that's like, that's why I want to talk about something that has been mentioned on this show so many times. Mm-hmm. And that is the whole, I'm going to get right into it, the Uniting Minnesota, which I find to be a load of shit. And I'm going to be very specific on why, but I wanted to ask where you guys kind of stand on, like, artists saying they want to, like, unite the state. And this has been being said for years.
So my personal opinion, and actually after doing some old school deep dive, Ricky Collins had an interview with a guy who owns Urban House. Is that, what is the, where they're doing all the freestyles and live sets?
Oh, sure.
Tim, I believe his name is Tim. I forget his name. Urban Lights.
It's like
Urban
Lights. It's like Urban Lights.
It's a record store, old school, kind of, you know, dig through the record store, but they host open mics. They have all kinds of stuff. He's definitely untapped in the community. And I've been following their page for a while, but he was talking, he asked a unique question, like, what was the Minnesota hip hop community like back in your generation?
I saw a little clip of that.
And I was like, I got really intrigued. So I like really started like kind of like thinking about it and then doing a deep dive in it. And they had a cool unity, just like how New York used to be, just like how Atlanta had their come up, just like how LA used to be. And then to see how everything kind of separated for many of years, having maybe the wrong people in control as in gatekeepers, maybe just not having a set economy, I think we kind of fell off the path. But then at the same time, more recently, I'd say just since we've done this podcast, which is just over 5 years, mm-hmm. the unity has grown like a lot just recently.
When I want to flip it on you real quick.
When
you say that you think it's a load of shit, what specifically do you think is a load of shit?
Artists actually doing it.
Okay. So you think that people talk about it a lot but don't really ever do shit to actually make it happen.
That's the motto of Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yo, it's
I think you're right about that on some level, but on another level, I think part of it is because the thing that I've learned over the years here is we're still really in the infant stages of specifically hip hop here.
Sure.
So like when you talk about like what you, I saw that clip as well. And he wasn't necessarily just talking about hip-hop. I think he was just talking about music in general.
Yep.
And hip-hop, until what, maybe 5 years ago when we first showed up in Minnesota, was really just rhymesayers.
Yeah, that's fact.
Like, nobody really knew about, like, this crazy amount of talent that's coming out of the north side of Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's literally, I could probably name 30 artists just from Minneapolis that all have the sound that is as good, it rivals anybody that I would consider to be a top tier artist.
Yeah.
Aside from maybe, you know, like a few of like, you know, the future great, you know, Drake's, Kendrick's. But I mean, even then, there's still some of those artists where I'm like, yo, this dude is doing everything he does just as good as Drake. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you get like someone like Nucky.
Never heard of Nucky.
You never heard of Nucky?
No. Oh. I've never heard
of
Nucky.
Yeah, you have, if you've seen it.
Nucky, really? Nucky, yeah. And I'll stand on this forever. Nucky raps with anybody. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Kendrick, Cole. I don't care who, Drake, whoever you want to call the GOATs. Yeah. Nucky can rap with any of them. Probably out-rap any of them.
Oh, you mean just like keep up on pace?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's easily as good of a rapper as anybody in the world right now. Mm-hmm. And I mean anybody. So...
No fucking exaggeration.
No, that's not exaggeration at all.
I'll look more into it. Yeah, I mean, I'll take your word for it.
No, now what's missing with Nucky is, and no disrespect to him, and he wouldn't take a disrespect from this, is just the drive. Mm-hmm. He just has to get into a place in his life where he can be consistent with it. Not, yep. Again, there's 20 artists where that's what's missing. Mm-hmm. It's either the drive, maybe the money, or just not knowing what to do, which there's almost no excuse for anymore because you can find what to do anywhere.
Yeah.
You can go on YouTube and you can do a YouTube search and figure out like what are the moves to getting on, or you can contact someone like Miles.
I was about to say, when I was working with Miles, that's what pissed us off is that we did a step-by-step video instruction for free, and we took hours on that, on how to literally monetize your music. Now, that may start at a minor level, but like an artist I'm managing called Bodiz literally did not know any of that information. So now he's actually taken that to heart, and now he's making money off his music, and then he took other people's advice and ideologies and applied it, and now like he has 5,000 monthly listeners from 200.
Yeah.
And that happened in the course of a year. Mm-hmm. So like that is powerful when you actually take that information and apply it.
It is.
That's the problem though, is that, and again, I'm going to talk about Minnesota because my credibility now is better than when I last talked to you two. I was telling Joe that was now I'm actually like being in the industry. I've worked with multiple big artists and been in these negotiations. It's crazy to me that like the main problem I see with Minnesota locally is that everyone's looking at everyone else's lawns. No one's paying attention to their own shit. Does that make sense? Like everybody's like focused on that's greener than my lawn. So I'm not going to focus on
what you are saying makes sense. However, I don't agree that that's what's happening. Sure. I think that may be what you're seeing.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, just now when I said Nucky, you don't know who I was talking about.
No.
So I look at I'm trying more these days. I think I speak for both of us when I say these days, we're trying to focus more on the artists that aren't doing that because what is we can talk all day about what we think should happen or what people need to do or whatever, but people are going to do what they're going to do.
Yes.
Us sitting here on a podcast saying like, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do that. They're either going to take that advice or they're not going to take that advice. 99% of the time, they're not taking that advice.
Right.
They're just listening to it and going either A, trying to just say, well, I am doing those things or whatever the case. But basically what I was saying before in a roundabout way is because of the infancy of our hip hop scene, I don't think we're at a place yet where we can really truly make judgments about our scene. And like, and I'm, trust me, this is a new thing that I've kind of adopted. It's like, because we've talked about for 5 years about the problems in our music scene here.
Yep.
And it's getting us nowhere. Mm-hmm. It doesn't create unity. And I think people end up feeling attacked. Like artists hear it. And that's on them. That's not. I'm not saying that I'm not going to say it because they feel attacked. Right. But you know, their feelings are their feelings. But I think that it could be detrimental. It is detrimental because it seems like if you go on Facebook and you're kind of deeply embedded in the local music scene here, you don't see all that much positivity.
No, you see none.
It's mostly people talking about the problems.
Yeah.
And why we can't unite.
Yep.
And I think what we need to do is shut the fuck up about all the unite shit. I don't mean that in a direct shot at you, but
I feel you.
But stop talking about we need to unite, we need to do this, we need to do that. Everybody, like you're saying, just focus on your own grass.
Yeah.
And it will happen. You look at somebody like Taylor J, mm-hmm.
And I know we, all the right things.
And we refer to him a lot because he is somebody that's doing it the right way.
Yeah, he's keeping quiet. That's
and he doesn't give a fuck about anybody else's grass. He's only watering and mowing his own grass.
That's what I'm saying, though, is that that people need to take after that kind of work and hustle.
Agreed.
Because and even in like CLM, right, no one talks about CLM when you talk about concert promotion. Mm-hmm. And there's a bunch of little fake promoters out here that say, I threw this show and I threw this show when they're just the host, okay? That's like Buddy Vegas, our DJ, is saying that he owns the entire show when he knows, he'll tell you to your face that it's a team effort.
Yeah.
This guy's DJed for Jamie Foxx, big people, way bigger than anyone here has ever done. Yep. But no one talks about Buddy Vegas. And that's what I'm getting upset about, is that like things like the people who have the credibility like seem to get hated on because they don't bring it back home, right?
So in your mind, what do you think people should be saying about Buddy Vegas? What does that look like? How does that manifest?
Well, you know Buddy Vegas from different ways. If you guys know, he's a crazy person, so whatever experience you've had with Buddy, I'm not going to speak on, right? I can't, because I've had crazy fucking experiences with Buddy. Yeah. That's the reaction you get most of the time.
Yeah.
But it wasn't my fault, I swear to God. Yeah. I didn't do it. I don't fucking know what happened, but
I guess what I'm saying is, like, you say nobody's talking about Buddy Vegas.
Well, who
should be talking about him and
should be talking about anybody. What I'm saying by that is that he has a lot of credibility that's not recognized. And that he doesn't care for people to recognize him for it. And that he's talked to me all the time about these DJs acting like they're hot shit, when in all reality, Buddy Vegas's prices haven't changed in years because he's humble as fuck. I'm just being honest. He's been on stage with Steve Aoki, but he doesn't throw it in your face.
Yeah.
He just showed me a video one day. I was like, bro, did you know I did this? And I was like, what the fuck? And that to me is surprising. Like, Kato's another one of those people.
So maybe he should be.
Well, maybe he should be, but he doesn't care enough.
Because if his prices haven't gone up in years, that sounds to me like...
It's something like, to you, it's like, okay, well, and to me as well, why wouldn't you to increase your net worth?
Right.
But I mean, what I'm saying by that is a lot of people don't have a half of his credibility on their fucking pinky finger compared to that, and they're the ones acting Hollywood. I try to sit here, and the promotion on this space that I'm in, I have a lot of opportunity to give to artists, okay? But a lot of people have this whole concept with, oh, Kevin's stealing money from artists because they're at a pay-to-play structure. The whole motherfucking industry is in a pay-to-play structure. Sorry.
And it's about to get worse.
And it hasn't changed in over my whole lifetime. Mm-hmm. It hasn't changed. And before I was born, it was like that.
Yeah.
So I'm coming into an industry that I'm not looking to shift because that's not my job. My job is to make money in this industry. And again, it's not, that sounded very, very cynical. You know what I mean? But what I'm saying by that is I'm not stealing money from people. And the artists that come to me are really looking for real opportunities to grow themselves.
Yeah.
I specifically have a small niche market of those in each little state that we run. And a lot of those artists that are talking their shit are not in my niche. So I kind of see a trend there is like the people who are complaining are the ones that are not looking to me for opportunities. So I'm assuming that those people who are talking shit are not working hard. They're sitting on their ass waiting for it to come to them.
Well, a lot of the times that is the honest to God truth. A lot of people that demand attention or demand support, usually 99% of the time it's your own fault, kind of like what we were just mentioning.
Right. But.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people think that they work hard.
Yeah.
Which I mean, if you feel like you're working hard, then who am I to say you're not working hard?
Sure.
But
could be a fact of working hard but not smart. Could be all kinds of different things.
Well, the fact of the matter is we all have the same 24 hours, right?
Yep.
So
what are you doing with those 24 hours?
If you think you're working as hard, I mean, if you think you're working as hard as you can, then you should be making progress. And a lot of people just don't make progress. But I think that's more about consistency, really. I think it's just more about, you know, people just don't.
I just don't.
There's a lot of artists here, and not just here, everywhere.
Yeah.
That don't really want this.
Well, there's a lot of artists that have sat in those seats and said, like, Rhymesayer should be doing more, Lizzo should be doing more for this state. And I'm like, what kind of obligation do they have to you, though? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, they don't have any obligation, and they've put their sense in, actually. Like, when people.
I disagree.
Say, what do you mean?
I think Rhymesayer has an obligation.
For what?
They're white. And they're in hip hop.
Yeah, but they're a business like obligation. Any other thing, though.
I just think you're a guest in hip hop. You have an obligation. And I don't know what they have.
I see that point of view.
I don't know what they have or haven't contributed necessarily. I know of some things that they've done that, you know, that I've been told by other people that are not great.
It doesn't seem like they hold themselves accountable.
They definitely don't.
Yeah, that's what I've seen. But I haven't seen anything else other than they've really moved as a business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that like I can like be like, okay, well, good fucking job, because music is a business.
Yeah.
That's another thing I wanted to point out was not just the unity thing, but and everyone says it, but like every artist is a business. Treat it like such, right? Like really think about it. And we were just talking about this off air, Joe, how you're like, well, music is just another form of business. Just it's a different industry, right? Each industry has a different set of rules.
Yep.
and music doesn't really have any rules. And if you think it does, you're fucking hilarious, because I've negotiated riders with people. They're just fucking throwing shit in midair. And I'm like, I asked them, what are your numbers based off of? And they go, well, we don't have any. And I'm like, well, then what the fuck are we talking about this figure for? You know what I mean? So I'm like, well, I don't understand why you think you can have a $700 bottle of vodka when in all reality, your last show was 200 people.
Yeah.
And then 10 people show up to this one. So why the fuck would I buy it for
you? Dude, it's such a messy business, man. I think there's a lot of stuff that gets like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Artists start to get like that because they don't even know what their money is, why it's coming in, what it's coming in for.
Yeah.
It's just messy. So I think artists get to a point where it's just like you just kind of succumb to the messiness.
And that's you don't like
your streaming numbers. Why did I get a $3,000 check when I had a million streams? And then it's like,
and one artist actually like that was like that was her name's Amanda Yang. Phenomenal person, and we've talked extensively. And when I first started talking to her, Miles was asking me why is she not making more money. And some people actually choose that route on purpose. Some people choose to like do huge distribution deals per song and give most of it away to get the streams up there and then have them be consistently. Yep. And then once they get consistent, when they release a single, original, master owned, their fucking money's crazy. Yep. So, and she did that. That's what she's doing. That's the smart thing to go about it. I think that's what artists need to realize too, is that, well, you said this earlier, Joe, off air. You said that why
damn,
were people-
y'all were just giving away content for free.
I had to stop myself.
Yeah, we got too far, but essentially like, your masters aren't worth shit when you first start. So then why are you so concerned about them? You can't be so concerned about a product that's not valuable yet. You're not bringing any value to people in the beginning. I was an artist for 7 years.
Well, you can.
I know, but I brought like that much value to people. Okay, like I did when I was an artist, and I just admit that.
You can if you plan on being there for the long haul and you plan on investing in a timeless music or something.
Sorry, right? I was speaking more on just like in general. Like you can do whatever you want. It might not help you or do you any good, but.
The conversation was is people get it kind of branched off of financial literacy, and when you hear somebody pitch, I call it a new fad, but when somebody pitches. Oh, you need to own your masters. Prince said it. This person said it. This person said it. And all of a sudden, everybody wants to own fucking their masters. It's like, your masters ain't shit. Unless you have a value to yourself.
And that
unless you're actually selling something.
And that ideology, though, that you're talking about, I'm going to stay on that topic real quick. That just keep yourself from that mindset. How come local artists want to get paid for shows?
Well,
Just stay at that point though. Like if you think about it, like without derailing, your value ain't shit. And if certain
people's value though is shit though. Like even local artists. Let's say Nate Millions, for example. Okay.
Yeah.
He has a show. He actually brings a huge chunk of that fan base.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the promoter or people who are working with the promoter to help advertise and get this show out there and to get people into the door. Nate's bringing in most of those people. So to get paid for that show, that's understandable.
Nate is somebody
he's contributing to the liquor sales. He's contributing to bringing people here for a head charge. So that
most of those people we're not talking about though. Like that Matt Gerv is another one of those people where we did a deal with Mac where he came on for free. And we just knew that putting him on that stage with no charge, we would make money back elsewhere. So that you think about that, right? Like that is we were okay with. Some people we've paid out to like bring the bill up, which is rare, but we do. But what I'm saying by the people who are coming to me, like for example, when I was managing Pilot, this is one thing I was gonna air out, right? When I was managing Pilot, most people didn't even know I managed. He wanted to get paid for his shows, and at the time it was really tough because I knew in my head that why would someone pay for Pilot? But I knew why he was saying it because at the time Il Cartel was throwing show after show after show, and he's never had to pay to get on one because Tech's a beast, right? And Big Wizard Beast. Mm-hmm. Like OGs throw the people on they like. So they'll cover that part. But that's just, to me, that's a hard introduction to have to shows because my introduction to shows was losing $400 or $500 because I wasn't selling my tickets because I thought paying was just to get on. No, I had to hustle.
See, I think that right there is something. So look, this isn't going to happen. So we can talk about this, but it's not going to happen.
Sure.
Especially once COVID is over. Pay to play is about to get serious. Like unless you are willing to pay, you ain't touching stages, bro. Yeah. Not anytime soon.
I have the leverage. Like promoters have the leverage.
It's not. Yeah. It's one. Yeah. And plus all these other companies are buying up
fucking Live Nation.
Performance spaces. Yeah. So yeah, it ain't going to happen for a while. So artists fucking bear down because you ain't getting paid to touch a stage for a while unless
you bring value.
Unless you somehow figure out a way to bring value or if you have a national presence.
But even
then, probably not because all the mainstream acts are going to be on tour. There's going to be somebody here every fucking night.
Yes, there will.
Every night.
Another different thing, too. If you're going to a mainstream concert, let's say it's T.I., for example. T.I. is bringing pretty much close to a sold-out show here in Minnesota.
Absolutely.
If not a sold-out
show. And if you're a local artist.
Like when Cato brought him out to, the fuck's that bar?
Poorhouse.
Yep. When he brought him out there. I mean, T.I. brought plenty of people.
Yep.
Plenty of people.
And if you're a local artist and you want to open up for T.I. once COVID is over?
That's worth, in my opinion, you are going to pay. And sometimes that's worth the investment if you know how to network and actually manage it properly. Because if you're getting behind the stage or if you're paying to play, and maybe you can pay a little bit extra to get behind the scenes and meet somebody to help network with this person, whatever the fucking case
is. Or just marketing. Exactly. I mean, yeah, you got to have a plan, 100%. Yeah. You have to have a plan. If you're going to pay... Don't just pay and then just go touch the stage and think like
and perform.
Cool, that's I'm gonna take all the TI's
least
fans.
Of what the importance is. Because you're not taking anybody's fucking fans or waiting for you to get the fuck off the stage most calling of the, out yeah, TI.
Yeah,
let's
yeah,
go.
Most of know? The time. And that's why I like when again, the only artist that I'll say I manage right now is Boat is when I put him on shows like I have to convince him sometimes for CLM shows because he was an intern for CLM at one point. So he knows the structure. And again, it's not at all a bad structure because Cato, I've asked him. To his face multiple times, I've spent a lot of time with Cato over the course of 2 years. I've asked him, man, why haven't you charged more? You could be making triple the money because I just think very business mindset. But to him, he still has that local artist heart. He truly does. And I'll vouch for him to the day I die when he says, I literally made this company for artists to leverage it. Mm-hmm. I did. He's like, I made this so people could make money in front of big crowds and then figure out and connect with people here to then leverage their career. The things that he never had. He said him and Nate worked together because they're friends. Mm-hmm. It wasn't because they were leveraging off each other. The relationship made sense. Yeah. And that's one thing I wanted
to talk
about.
I think he said
too.
Nate had better bars than he did too.
Oh.
No, just like.
I mean, that's a fact.
But Nate also.
He did say he rapped. I had no idea Cato.
Nate also had and has mainstream marketability.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
He has a business mindset,
yeah.
And he knows how. Like, if Nate, I don't know, I don't know if he's ever done pay to play. I assume he has. Most artists have.
Yes,
but if he does, he's not just gonna put down the $500 and then just go hit the stage.
No, he's gonna, make sure his merch booth is there.
He's
gonna
bring
this.
Props. He's gonna have. Yeah,
we've had many conversations about it, and he said Swaggo was the whole reason he made money at those shows because Swaggo was a very big brand for a while.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Something slept on in this state for a while. But when I remember when I was repping Swaggo, I thought it was a joke gimmick. But in all reality, when I explained the numbers, it was insane the margins, and it was also insane that when he opened for MGK, which is a good accomplishment of his, we had that big fur coat on years ago. Mm-hmm. He literally made money on that show. He did pay to get on it, but he made money.
Yeah.
So I'm like, fucking genius. That's what I'm saying, is that mindset
Look what Ritz did. I guarantee it. Ritz paid to play. He sat outside with his fucking merch counter, sat outside just to do meet and greets non-fucking-stop.
Yep.
Non-fucking-stop to get that cult following.
Everyone's done it, but that is the whole business mindset you have to have when you're a local artist. And that the things that we're talking about right now are not common knowledge, okay? Because another route that we're talking about, that's the hard work and dedication route. The other route I've seen and I've experienced is perception. Okay, and that's the other handful of people. When I was on the phone with you, the people you consider your friends, they've sat on the phone with me and said that they've bought followers and that they are sitting here for a perception. And once they build that perception, they can profit off the perception. But they were investing hella money in marketing dollars to get that perception.
So do you have a problem with that?
Yes.
What's the problem?
The problem is that's all fake.
So?
Right? Like, that's what I'm saying. Okay. So what is what other one mindset is? My mindset is that's not authentic and genuine, and that's the route CLM goes. That's why I'm a part of this company. But that's what I'm saying is that's conflicts with my morals and values. So why wouldn't I have a problem with that?
Because
it doesn't affect me, because it does. It's saturating. So
if it's somebody you love or care about, I can understand you, but I
guess you're right. If it's
you,
someone I don't
you
care
buying
about.
Fake followers and I don't really know you,
well, when it's an artist that you're doing business with,
good luck. I mean, have fun.
Because when you're doing business with an artist, that's your business too. Whatever they portray, that's what's tough about being a manager,
that
a booking agent, is
too.
Whatever they do is another version of yourself. So when I am at his music video shoots, organizing it, when I'm here doing this stuff, you know, and then they come on shows and talk shit about me, they're the snake, I'm not. They're the ones who are buying the followers and telling me about it for hours, and I'm telling them not to. That's what I'm saying, is like, that's the two routes I'm seeing. I only go with people who are authentic.
So you're basically saying, try to put your money where it's going to be more authentic versus perception.
Yes. And that's the two routes people have picked here. And I think a lot of people love that perception idea.
I think it, and I've always had this opinion too, is you have your slow, long growth. Somebody like Tech N9ne, who's done so many fucking shows, who's built such a cult following, yeah, or became very successful. And then you have people like Tekashi, who, yeah, had a lot of perception, but guess what? He still got successful off it. If you go to California, if you go to Miami, if you go to anywhere outside of this country, and you happen to be going to a bar or a club or anything, and people ask you what you do, what it is, and they're talking about you, one of the first things they ask you is your IG to judge you, perception off, yeah, of how many followers you have.
Yeah.
So if you give them something with 2,000 followers, yeah, whatever. Next person comes by, 100,000 followers, fake followers. Oh my God, blue check. Oh my God, he's a fucking celebrity.
Yeah, the issue I have with perception is obviously the biggest problem is not longevity. And why would I care? Is because like it, minus all the social media, right? Like minus all of it, even the portfolio that I've built with Kato and what Kato's portfolio is by himself, it doesn't translate to his followers. It doesn't. Like, he has 9,000 followers, but he is currently chief marketing officer of Riff Raff. He worked with DaBaby and let me in on that experience. Like, you know what I mean? Like, my 1,500 followers doesn't translate to the people I've worked with, been on Futuristics Tour, right, Bus, Last March with Mod Sun. Like, it doesn't translate.
Not necessarily, but...
What if you had 250,000 fake followers?
What does that and do for you?
And you had those connections.
It still doesn't do anything for you.
You don't think that'll help with networking?
I think it does. Look, here's the thing. Like, we all got to stop pretending that perception doesn't matter. Perception matters. Look, if you got reposted tomorrow by... Who's a big-name artist that you don't really fuck with that much?
You know what's funny?
Future.
That or Joe Budden.
Okay, so let's say tomorrow you drop Kev's Perspective episode... What is this?
30.
Episode 30.
Yep.
Joe Budden catches wind. He retweets your shit.
Yeah.
Are you going to just ignore it?
No, obviously not, because you're going to leverage that, right?
Right. So you're creating
a perception.
Right.
But
like, oh, Joe Budden fucks with me. Maybe Joe Budden accidentally hit that button. You don't even know.
Jake's a smart man.
But you're gonna screenshot that bitch, and you're gonna throw it up on your IG story. You're gonna pimp the fuck out of that. And you should, as you should.
Right.
As you should.
But because we did, man. I just see my memories. Pusha T, fucking Khaled, all these people that have liked our shit, right, followed our
shit. So perception does matter. I get what you're saying, and I don't, like, yeah, here's the thing. I think I said it last week or the week before on one of our episodes. If you're buying fake followers, have fun. It ain't going to work, and you're going to get weeded out.
Yeah.
So, good.
Right.
Bon voyage. I'll be honest. Fuck out of here. Have fun.
I mean, if you remember, like, the biggest problem I had with it was the last time I was on here, me and you almost got into a debate about Ken Soul 2 years ago.
When you did?
Yeah, because you asked me, you're like, whatever happened with that?
Yeah, whatever happened to Ken Soul?
Yeah, well, right. But that's a good example of what I'm talking about, is that he was the one who built that perception.
Yeah.
And it was obvious. And I'm sitting here going, man, that's too obvious. Like, if you're going to do this, do it a different way, but I don't want to be a part of that. And I called him. I still have the phone call recorded.
Wait, what was our disagreement about?
He told you something on the show where, like, it was just, he basically said we didn't fuck with each other. And, like, he was being very light sugarcoating it, basically. And yeah, I think you were just trying to extrapolate the truth, as you should on a podcast.
Yep.
And for me, I was, like, trying to, like, expelling it.
Yeah.
And I tried to move on to a different topic. And then we got into the debate about how I thought Mac Miller was the best artist, and you called bullshit on it, right? So, like, because you said, like, who's your favorite rapper? I hated Drake. And then after that, I said Mac Miller was my favorite. And we got into a debate about it. This was 2 years ago.
I remember that clip.
Yeah.
I don't think – I think you might have misinterpreted what I was saying.
Probably.
Because it was a top five situation.
Was it?
I don't know. Yeah, it was top five Dead or Alive, and you mentioned Mac Miller. And at the time, like, I get that Mac Miller means a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And, like, that's great. He had a huge impact as an artist. I was never a huge fan.
Sure.
Rest in peace. But I think it was more so surprising that somebody would put them in their top five. That's all.
Sure.
That's really all it was. And I wasn't really trying to press you about it, because I remember you reposted the clip too recently, I think, and I saw it and I was like,
yeah,
man, that wasn't really what I was trying to say. It was more just like, it was more like surprise.
Okay.
And what's interesting about that is, now post his death, I would be less surprised by that.
Sure.
For whatever reason.
I mean, perceptions change over time and your ideology changes.
Death also changes how people feel about artists.
Yeah.
So like Nipsey Hussle.
Death in different generations too.
Nipsey Hussle before his death would not have been in like my top 10, but I would argue that
more attention gets brought to it.
I would argue that right now he's
not even attention, but clarity.
He's maybe in that top spot for me. Recently, I've been listening to pretty much like almost only Nipsey.
Well, yeah. Well, actually, what's funny is with Nipsey too, going back on his music, because that's what people do when people pass away. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. so you don't listen to it then, but you make more awareness of it now. The gems he was dropping, I was sitting here like my mind was being blown. And like same with Mac, it's hidden in the music that yeah. you don't hear it when they're mm-hmm. there because mm-hmm. you take it for granted. Yeah. But then you look back on it and you're like, holy fucking shit! And like even he knew. If he was to die early, he talked about that. Yeah. Same with Mac. Like, and everyone kind of talks
brilliant
about
marketing.
It.
Brilliant marketing. That's why Tupac's still relevant to this day.
Right, exactly. And it is good marketing, but another thing is, like, I think it's like a sixth sense. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you have a feeling of that, you're going to die
young. When you grow up in that lifestyle, you assume that yeah. is a chance that that's going to happen as well, too. Yeah. And, you know, like we were talking about before, Nipsey comes out, has all these brilliant business ideas that, next thing you know, everybody's an investor in property. Next thing you know, everybody's got this. And everybody's a fucking financial advisor. People are handing me business cards left and right, and I'm asking them what securities license you got. Yeah. What tests have you passed?
Yeah.
Are you a consultant or are you actually an advisor? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's two different things there. So it's like perception, I get it. It gets you maybe an opportunity. Whether that opportunity goes anywhere, that's two different things.
That's the key.
There's
right
good
there.
Media, yeah. there's bad media. Look at what our media is literally driven off of. Negativity.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Perception, negativity.
Yep.
But there also is good media. And that's what we try to take pride in here. And we've kind of fallen off a course a little bit. We get back onto it. We almost fell off completely. We get back onto it again. It's to build that long-term good quality success, I'll just say, you got to stay good, consistent, and positive.
The
bad media, the perception, like he said, go ahead, do it. I can't wait till you fall on your face. I'm past
right, and that's what happens, though. And that's one thing that I've just realized. I didn't realize that actually more people knew it than I thought then. I guess I was pretty ignorant because, when I was experiencing that with Ken Soul and other people, I was sitting here, like, for hours, he would try to convince me this was the right path, and I didn't know shit. And I was like, well, now the opportunities that I'm getting because I'm being authentic, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, well, it's night and day to me. You know what I mean? If you're off doing your thing, that's fine. I don't pay too much attention. But I even tested this perception thought last night, okay? I'm house sitting for my aunt who is like filthy rich, just to be honest. And she's very well off. Sauna, pool, hot tub, all that stuff. I acted
why the
like
fuck are we
party at
here?
Kev's. What the fuck, dude?
I would have brought a whole bitch over the shit
But she, the whole
like, we put this bitch in the hot tub, man.
Yeah, right? It's been fantastic.
I got cigars. I got bourbon. Let's go.
Like that was my own, right? Just as a joke, because I was getting like 100 viewers on my Snapchat, turned into double overnight, and I'm like, are you kidding me? That's where attention's at. So I get if you want to bring attention to something and use it as a gimmick, Tekashi 6ix9ine. But when it comes to like longevity of that stuff and trying to convince me that's legitimately how other people have done it, I'm like, dude, you're just
look
wrong.
At these fads. Look how much they run up, bro.
Yeah, the look numbers are there.
Look at
who
how
cares?
Girls look nowadays, bro. To me, it looks fucked up. Yeah. Dude, they're fucking Botox, all this shit that they do to their face.
I watched the YouTube
for
video.
Perception.
I watched a YouTube video the other night, and it was this chick, I forget her fucking name. She's real popular. But she gets on the screen. This is her thing. This is her YouTube channel. She gets millions of views. Oh, I mean millions on me. She's got like 100 million subscribers. I can't remember her name, otherwise I'd shout her out. But
please don't.
It's good shit. It's good content. But basically what she does is she gets on camera, no makeup. And then she does her makeup for like an hour. While she tells a story about a serial killer.
Bailey Sarian.
Yes.
My girlfriend's obsessed with her.
Bro.
It's annoying the shit out of me.
I was
every
like,
time I see this, I'm like,
I'm looking at it and I'm like, this is not gonna be cool. And 40 minutes later, I'm like, yo.
You're intrigued a little bit, right?
I was like, this is kind of dope. This is kind of brilliant. Like, what I don't know what.
And then at the end, when you're not paying attention, you're like, oh shit, she actually did a good job with her face.
Right.
Yeah.
And you realize, like, she's kind of average. Yeah. Not to be disrespectful or speak that way about women, but like, she's not like, the only reason I say it is because there's a comparison.
She's not a Rihanna.
When she's... Relax.
You need to relax, bro.
No.
She's getting annoyed right now. She's blocking your ass.
I'm shooting my shot.
Just
every
one more
day.
Chance.
Every day I'm shooting my shot.
I saw the post. That's why I had to say
every day I'm shooting my shot. Every day. Bro, look. All I need is one chance. I'm telling you, I know for a fact I can make Rihanna happy. I know there's no doubt
in
my
mind. If you get that chance, tell her to reach out to Eva Mendes because I got that one chance too.
You got that one?
I'm going to be busy.
Mine's Ariana Grande. That's mine.
She's cool.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, I lose my mind over that.
I'd hit all of them, but I'm just saying Rihanna's just perfect. I'll leave my whole family for Rihanna. Whole family. Start a new one.
Start a whole new one.
Beautiful, beautiful mixed babies. But anyways, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was Bailey Sarian.
Bailey Sarian. So
I don't remember what my point about that was, but what the fuck was my point?
Talking about perception and Bailey Sarian and 100 million followers.
Oh, yeah. People will watch this chick go from kind of average to like, that's one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life. And it's all just makeup.
Yep.
It's all makeup, which is an art form in itself. Like
that's a big industry.
Makeup
right now
is an art form,
dude.
Filters are an art form.
Yeah,
and fucking Botox is not an art form.
No,
like fuck me, running.
It's actually hilarious how much hard work goes into what you were talking about. Because Ashley Richter is one of my good friends and like an IG model essentially, right? And she holds that title. She then when she started OnlyFans, it was super smart because she grew faster in followers on Instagram than most artists do. Okay, mm-hmm. And not just because she's a woman, but because she didn't have anything before just being pretty. Because she started that whole Bailey Sarian vibe where she did her makeup and did transitions and cool art and stuff like that, right? And pop culture makeup is basically what she told me it was. After that, she translated that market into OnlyFans, which is what artists try to do with SoundCloud to Spotify. To me, it was the same translation. It's nothing to money, right? And now she's actually making a living just off OnlyFans. And she's like debating on quitting her jobs because she make $10,000 a month.
What's she doing on OnlyFans?
It's like bourgeois shoots and like, you know, basically what most women are doing right now. Honestly, subscribe, dude. I can't. No. But
no, thank you.
But that's what the whole vibe is right now. And that's what I'm saying is that perception makes sense to me because it's turning into money and it's turning into a business.
Even when you got to sell yourself, body. Even if you want to be all free spirited, like, oh, free the nipple, like whatever. But like, you're still selling your fucking
If you could sell your body, you would.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would.
I probably could if I really wanted to promote it.
Prove it.
My girls debated like just doing like a feet OnlyFans just to make money. And I'm like, it would work. Like, you have a foot tattoo, literally, it would work.
It
like,
fucking works. People do it all the time. It's, I don't know.
But to make this a full circle conversation is that like what we talked about, that's just a different industry. And perception works in some industries. It's just in music in particular for longevity, that doesn't work. It doesn't.
Yeah, most of the time it doesn't. Especially now, people are really catching on. No, people ain't falling for the okie doke anymore. Like, look at what happened the other night with the name that I won't speak of that y'all have mentioned a couple times, and Meek Mill.
Who?
Meek Mill and Tekashi. The little bullshit.
I don't pay attention to bullshit like that. Sorry. What was that about?
So, allegedly, the other night, the name I will not say, waited outside for Meek Mill to come out of the club.
Yeah.
And then allegedly pressed him, but he had feds with him. Like, he's got bodyguards and that's like federal protection.
That's just a classic Tekashi doing things to make money.
But Meek fed into it so much that I, within about 45 minutes of this whole thing happening, was like, Meek looks like he maybe bought into this fucking stimulus package. Damn it, I said his name.
Yeah.
Bleep that out.
Yeah. Bleep. Yeah.
Because...
And then the other dude posted his video.
It was like every 20 minutes he was tweeting something about the situation. It's like, me.
Yeah.
Chill shut out. The fuck up.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck. You're a felon.
Yeah.
You're talking about, you tried to get me thrown in jail. You're not in jail.
No.
You're fine.
Yeah.
Stop talking. It's just the same thing that people did with fucking dickhead Trump. Like,
I was about to say, it sounds very similar.
Fucking talking about
you're throwing fuel on the fire, and then he's just constantly outputting the tweets.
Every time you type that fucking name or that word, you're giving him what helped. That's what helped. That's why he won the election.
Yeah.
Like, you think, like, people think that, like, you really think that Donald Trump didn't have, like, people that could tell him, like, yo, don't do that, or yes, let's do that.
He did. No, yeah, I've read two books on Trump.
He definitely did. Like, there would be people out there saying, Donald, don't do that. But they knew that if Donald Trump gets on fucking live television and tells America about the Proud Boys to stand out, stand by, and whatever the fuck he said. He knew that was going to get a reaction.
Yeah, well, he does things to do that to spark interest.
He knew that he would be on the front page of every fucking news channel, every fucking social media app. They knew that is how you win from 2016 to 2020. That's how you win. And I'm not going to say that he didn't still win. Look at how many fucking votes he got.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't win, but look how many people voted for him.
Yeah.
They both broke records.
Yeah. No, they absolutely did. And I've like I said, when I was reading two books on Trump by Bob Woodward, I don't know if you guys have heard of that author, but he's the one who kind of broke the Watergate scandal with Nixon.
Okay.
I've done a lot of reading. I'm not political,
was
but
he the guy
I
that
kind of
like
research.
Blew the whistle on all the fuck shit?
Yeah,
Trump.
He's also the one that blew the whistle on the phone call being leaked. Yep. That was his phone call, right? Yeah. That was with Bob Woodward.
Got it.
And with Trump, the whole thing was, his gimmick was he would piss people off around him in his cabinet. Over the course amount of time, essentially, people just got so pissed off with Trump where they were actually demeaning him, making fun of him. That's why he was off the rails at the end, because everyone around you didn't respect you and you've had a horrible marriage your entire life and you've said stupid shit, like your legacy's gone and you know it. Yep. Let's just try to win something at this point. He cared about winning at the
you
end.
Think
of
he
the
had
day.
A horrible marriage?
Yeah, he did. It's actually what's people around him in his cabinet said that he did. Like his entire
You're telling
life.
Telling me she's not out banging fucking anybody
That's
else?
What I'm saying. And like
they don't might be, but I don't
they don't
think
sleep in the
on.
Same room.
She
like,
might be, but I don't think she on. I don't think it was no like
she might not be able to get away with it now as easy as before, but I guarantee.
I'm just
it,
saying.
She was
I think people
the fuck out of anybody
people
else
tried
but
to paint
him.
It. I think people tried to paint her as a victim is what I'm saying. And she wasn't no fucking victim.
No, she's not a victim.
She ain't no victim. No. She liked the power. She liked the money.
Yeah,
no,
of course.
Fame.
The whole family is.
It
like
wasn't
that.
No. It wasn't all that. People, you know, look at her. He's pushing her off the stage. Like, nah.
Right.
She likes
but,
this.
But
shit.
that kind of like
was her sugar daddy.
That bullshit that Trump creates, right?
Yeah.
Local artists try to create. That's why I'm here. That's,
and I don't think that shit is working anymore.
I think it does to an extent. I just think that the people who are talking about it, and hence I'm giving it light by talking about it, but I'm talking about it because I'm seen in a different point of view finally, which I'm happy to be. Like, I'm not, again, I sound really narcissistic. I'm not trying to sound like that, but what I'm saying is that in a different position, in a different light, when I'm actually trying to give opportunity, I've now realized people talk more shit about me because they think I'm trying to take their money. And then the more people stir the pot, the more interest it gets and the more their views go up. So that's why they do it. I think Minnesota's really, it's a slippery slope that we're falling into. That's why when people say, oh, we're uniting more, show me. I haven't seen companies come together.
Trap
like,
right.
What do you mean
trap right? Right, the versus battles.
Mm-hmm. With you guys, right?
Not even with us.
No,
we get a lot of credit for that shit that we don't deserve.
Yeah, and we try to make it very
but
clear.
But how many
the
companies
only
are like
few times?
Well, it don't matter because there was none before.
Live.
Yeah, there you go.
Right, but there was none before that.
Stop House?
Packed House Live is, I need to do more research on, but what I've seen in that is that that's a smart business if it can work. But there's so many businesses like that that I've worked with Riff that like it just, I don't think the longevity of that is going to be any different.
I think it will.
Because I've worked with a lot of companies like that that do streaming professionally. You just don't know them because they're not like a brand. Like Packed House Live is trying to be a brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those companies are just companies.
Well, that's 101 in marketing is branding yourself. And he's definitely branded himself.
But
he has connections with being on the money team with Floyd Mayweather. So other than his connections, other than being successful, really understanding the videography game, really understanding the industry because he was hip hop. I think that whole brand that he has built can definitely be successful. Like
I think it could be too.
As long as he stays consistent, I know for a fact that he'll be successful because he's doing everything right. He's getting all the artists together, unifying them. I mean, you're looking at these Packed House Live performances are 10, 15 artists that we try to put together a fucking mixtape with all fucking these artists and we can't get them together. We can't get them to unite. We can't do to whatever. He's getting them all on one bill.
Right.
So seeing that kind of stuff, that's unifying. What? Look at Stop House, bro. Stop House was able to grab Taylor J, Mac Irv, Cashanova, and Prof, who are four probably the best marketing, branding Minnesota artists, period. And they're together and they're working together. So seeing that unity, it's definitely out there. Like it's definitely gotten way better than it was before. I think also people calling out Atmosphere, them being the gatekeepers, I think they did have a responsibility to the hip-hop scene with Soundset, with how much support that we gave them over the years, that they could have been like, hey, we have the connections, we have the funds to help promote people from our area, but they really weren't. And at the opposite, they were actually kind of pushing people away from it because they were too hood or too gangster or whatever the actual fucking quote was. So with them kind of getting taken off their high horse and whatever they're doing now, they still got a business. They still make plenty of money.
Right.
After that kind of split off and all these fucking people that are, you know, fucking with girls in the wrong way, the negative way, being very abusive and shit, having that to overcome, you're watching all these people start to unify. So when it comes to proof, I'm willing to put it on the table and see that we are proving that we've
there's minor improvements, I agree. It's just that for the 7 years that I was an artist, I question why it never happened. I didn't have the platform to make it happen. Even Miles and I made a show, like we did a show together where we put on a ton of people, right, that didn't fuck with each other. But we did it and it ended up being a pretty successful show for two people who are nobodies, right, in local artist scene. And there was like, if you pack out like a small place like the Kitty Cat Club with another person, you wouldn't have had that packed out if we didn't collaborate with those people. So that's what I'm saying too. It's like, why aren't people combining their businesses more? Now, when you're talking about Trap Right and Stop House, I was aware of that. That's smart. But then you could go even further, right, and say, let's combine Trap Right with Packed House Live. Combine that, those two platforms put together. You can combine the Miles Graves Company and Ill Cartel and put them together. Because if they have any questions,
actually,
I
think that too right there would actually probably be a really good thing.
But
just to see some kind of, and maybe it's a consulting or just to see some kind of structure, because I think Ill has a very good business going.
Yep.
From the outside looking in, maybe there could be a little bit more structure.
It's hard to tell what they got going on.
It's funny. I was an operations manager for Ill Cartel for a short period of time. Yeah. I've done a lot of little things that nobody knows about. Right. But I've understood stuff like that.
That's how you
started
working with Pilot, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so like when I did that, it seemed like they had their business tight fucking niche and they didn't need me. But they were wondering, how do we get to the next level?
Right.
And that I'm like, well, what's the end goal? And I don't think they know. They just know that they make hits. They're a factory of hits and good people.
I mean, I don't know if they make hits, though.
Well, like Plaza's worked with them,
that could be hits, but I just think like that right there is one thing that sort of bothers me is the whole, you know, I made a hit. It's like,
yeah, what's your version of a hit? It's like your pain scale.
Well, first of all, you just recorded it.
Yeah.
So you can't say just left the studio, just made a hit. Like you've got to do some work before you can even talk about it being a hit.
What's your marketing plan? What's your distribution?
Right, but that's not like, and that, I feel like that a lot of artists get in their mind like, oh, this is the beginning of the marketing plan for this song.
Yeah.
But the problem is you say, I just made a hit, and then you don't say shit else, and then that song comes out 4 months later. Nobody remembers that you're talking, nobody knows that this is the song you're talking, nobody even remembers you saying that. So hold off on the just made a hit. Make the hit.
Mm-hmm. Don't cry wolf.
Get the hit engineered properly, and then when you start to get ready for the rollout, then you start talking about just made a hit. I mean, that to me is...
The video's out the whole nine. That's why I like Mac Irv and how he released his project. It took a lot of calculation, but every single that he had, there was already a video for it.
That's how me and Boaters work, yeah. I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everything that he rolled out, that he said he was going to do, it was already done.
Yeah.
It was already done.
If you haven't realized, if you're an artist listening, make a song, make a video, drop the video and the song almost in the same week. That'll work perfectly. It does do a good job. Because even like, I don't shoot with that. I had like a small, do you know the DJI Osmos Pocket thing? Yeah. I had that shooting videos. It's like pretty minor. Even your phone probably would work better for most videos.
I don't know. That DJI is nasty. Drew's got one.
Drew's the one who put me onto it. Yeah, and when I did that with Bo, our views shot up to like 7-8K on like each video. And I'm like, hold on. So even just investing a little bit of money in yourself and doing a little bit of what other people are doing and seeing if it works for you, you know, will translate into more success.
This goes back to that most artists don't really want it.
Yes.
I mean, I would say 95% to 99% of artists.
Once you find out what it takes.
Right. Because
I will never want to be a rapper again.
Once you find success.
That's why I quit.
Once you find success, you got to be able to maintain that success.
Yes.
The amount of work that goes in, like you thought you had to work hard to get to the success.
After that is even more. It's triple.
Marketing has how many branches, right?
So many, dude.
The way you have your photography, the way your music is, the way you engineer it, the way you distribute it.
Yep.
Every fucking thing to be a rapper is unbelievable. You got to have a brand. You got to have a persona. You got to have an alter ego. You got to have whatever the case is. There is so much
you
that you
sound
have to
like
do.
No one else or sound exactly like someone else.
And sound's one part of it. And like that's the two things that I see. Like we said, it is brand and business are two different things. You can create a really successful brand without it being profitable. Right, I mean, you can. That brand is what's in the
you
front.
Should.
Right, there's businesses. The ones in the back who are making the most money, and people call them the record labels. Behind the record labels is even more. Right, I mean, that's why like iHeartRadio and Go. Right, that was a whole thing. Well, iHeartRadio is making bank, and Go wasn't. So therefore, who won?
iHeartRadio is not making bank.
Well, no, they're in debt, hella. So? But like, no, they're technically
in debt because they're investing,
debt.
Or in debt because
they invested
in debt.
Years ago when everything was cheap, and then. and everything inflated. Is that, am I understanding this correctly?
I think
and then
that's
after
correct,
that,
yes.
their debt
people
went
call
up?
50 Cent broke, and he's not because he's constantly reinvesting. What, same with Kanye West. And
well, yeah, anybody thinks that believes 50 Cent is broke is.
No, they literally do because he fucking literally invests into something. And then if you really look at his fucking, it's just.
Businesses can operate even when they're in debt.
50 Cent's got millions.
Sometimes
probably got millions
the best
under
thing.
His mattress.
That's why Donald Trump
I was about
is,
to say bankruptcy galore is what he
Yeah, did, because you can count it as a loss. And then you can write that shit off so you don't have to pay in as much because you're making so much money on all your other entities.
Kanye can make a half a billion in a day.
Yep.
Literally drop a sneaker.
Yeah.
Done. You're good.
With Kanye, it's just the, what I've. Rumor, right? I don't know shit. I'm very low on this totem pole. What I've seen and what I've heard is just that the way he moves is also like he doesn't pay people, said he will later and doesn't. That's the whole, have you heard about his whole like Sunday service thing? He owes people millions of dollars, and that's what's wrong to me. Shut Why won't you pay them up. In the forefront and then do it later? That's why I'm saying with artists too, like it's just the whole all
is
I'm
the
saying.
Church? Who does he owe?
What do you mean?
His Sunday service, his choir or whatever that he does.
Oh yeah, his Sunday.
He never paid the service, the choir.
No, he never paid the choir. Oh, he never paid anyone there to actually.
Come on, Kanye.
Yeah, it's like.
But I also think that Kanye doesn't move without getting paid.
Yes.
At all.
Well, some artists are like that. When I work with Kirk O'Bangs, like he, before he even went on stage, right? Before he even saw the crowd, he expected money. And when I said no to that man, I almost shit my pants because I was like, no. I didn't realize how like hood his crew was, and like they like basically right off the bat threatened me, and I was like, not like threatened like my life, but they were like, we don't move like that. You're gonna do what we do, and you're gonna give me the money right now. And I was like, okay, like forget the contracts I've negotiated. Like we're just gonna give you it now. So I mean, that's what I'm saying with when there's no rules and regulations in music. That's one example I've talked about multiple times. It's like it didn't matter. He had 10 people at the show. It didn't matter. They just cared about the money. But that's the most unsuccessful shows I've ever had is when people care about the money first. Mm-hmm. The most successful shows we've ever had was like with Dax was a really good example, and like Chris Webby, they each had like 700 to 800 people at the Caboose. Okay, we didn't expect that turnout, and they didn't give a fuck about the money till the end of the night. It was 2 a.m.
Chris Webby's one of them people,
and
though.
Webby
He's
was like,
dude.
"Oh hey, I forgot you got to pay me," and I was like, "Oh shit." You know what I mean? But like before that, we were chopping it up for 2 hours. Yeah. Those are the most successful people. So that's what I want people to learn here. Is that if you don't care about the bag or the perception or anything else, you have more. It's going to be a harder path, but you're going to have the most likely chance of being successful. Well, and that's one path I didn't learn early.
And shout out to Ricky and we posted that clip too, Ricky Collins of Packed House Live, is he basically shot video work for free and had to sneak in and do different shit for free until he finally got his opportunity with Mayweather's team.
Yeah. Not all great opportunities have a bag connected to it. Like sometimes you got to do some shit for free so you can get to the bag later. And I think
sacrifice is important.
That is something that I think is worthy of a conversation here in Minneapolis, or here in Minnesota, I should say. Are artists coming together more just to work?
Yes.
And stop attaching a bag to it. Stop attaching money to it. Like, look, you know, I'm Mac Irv. I should get this from this little guy. It's like, well, you might be right.
Yep.
He might be right, but think of the impact that it can make. If this kid is talented and he wants to work with you, you're Mac Irv, you're not J. Cole. And I'm using him as an example. I'm not trying to disrespect Mac, but just work with him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If he's from Tennessee.
What I realize, you work with someone like that, if the relationship makes sense, meaning like the sound makes sense in that case, right? Like if you're Booty and he's not, that doesn't make sense.
Like he's on a different tier, I think, than, you know, like someone like Mac Turner. Right. Who I love. I think Mac Turner is one of the most talented people in the state. But let's keep it real. Mac Irv has put in more work than Mac Turner in the music business.
Right.
So that is somebody that Mac could look at and go like, look, I'll do a song with you, but I'm going to need, you know, whatever, $100.
Mm-hmm.
But they've worked together, and I highly doubt Mac Irv charged Mac Turner. I highly doubt it.
Well,
I'm wrong. But
I tell a Bo to charge a couple, like $50 to $100 for your time, because, you know, you could be, the time is valuable as well. And that's where you got to realize, like, you know, you should collaborate with people if the relationship makes sense. But I've told Bo, if the relationship doesn't make sense and they're really pressing you, then like give them a cash incentive for yourself. Because if you're not thrilled to be on the song, then you're not going to give your best delivery. And that's doing disrespect to the other person as well. So if you're going to tell yourself, give me $50 just to do it, then I'll actually put some guts fast into the song.
But that,
sure.
That, doesn't that feel a little bit dangerous? I feel like...
It does because Bo doesn't agree with what I just said. He doesn't. Like, he doesn't even agree with what I just said. That was just for my person yeah. point of view. But like for Nate example, Nate and Kato did a whole album together for free, right? Yeah. Because at the time it made sense. Just the value of each makes sense. So it just really depends. And that's what's really tough is that I could talk, like you said, we could talk all day about people uniting and all this shit. But if the relationship doesn't make sense, they're not. No one's going to do it.
Yeah.
Right? Companies aren't going to combine together if the relationship doesn't make sense. And I think, but then the next question is, how does it make sense? Comes with dropping your ego, dropping your animosity, and dropping what you think you are, and look at the numbers and revenue. Like, for example, I thought I was the shit when I got to CLM when I was nobody. Kato quickly put me in my place, and I didn't get paid until this last, you know, January 2020, and I've been with the company since May of 2019. All that time, that's a show, almost like 3 or 4 shows a month I was doing for free. Right? Just learning and learning. And when that point came of where like my value was actually like, okay, you could get paid for this, Kato determined it. I did it. Right? So the whole point of what I was just saying is like right back to Ricky Collins's point, you can do stuff for free to get an opportunity, but when you take the opportunity, work twice as hard. If Ricky got the opportunity and didn't work hard for a day, Floyd would have kicked him out. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's if I didn't work hard for CLM, I would have got kicked out like that. And some people actually can't handle that point, that mm-hmm. much work and that type of grit and drive.
Yep.
And that's the biggest thing I see with the problem with Minnesota is just that it's a lot of let's link and build is what me and Miles say as a joke. Let's link and build, bro. If we ever see chop it up or link and build, if you ever hear those two phrases, those are the problem. Those people are the problem.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on how you look at it. I just take that with all the grain of salt. Let's right. link means absolutely nothing. It right. means I saw you and you saw me.
Well, I'll be honest.
And now we're going to not see each other.
And I've seen some of those people on the show and I've wondered like why you guys even put him in those chairs. Because this like is actually who? An opportunity. This isn't actually an opportunity to be in these chairs. But like, you know, even me coming here, you know, technically being with you guys twice, having a conversation is like, I take that as like an opportunity because you guys are very smart when it comes to hip hop. And me and Miles talked about this because he's like, good thing you didn't get into a debate with Jake about hip hop because he would crush you. And I was like, absolutely. Like, and I'm not here to gas anyone up. I don't know shit about hip hop. I just know a lot about business. That's why I'm semi-successful in the music industry is because I know a little bit about a genre. I know a lot about the money-making side of it. Let's do that. And let's kind of combine what I know. You know what I mean? I didn't dive too deep into music. But when we talked about who's my favorite artist, mm-hmm. I know a lot about musicians.
Yeah.
Because I'm a musician. I know 15 instruments. So I can say that. So my point of view is different compared to most. My most looked up to person, and a lot of people know this who know me personally, the one I look up to the most in this state that no one knows is not just Mod Sun, shout out to my bro, but Owl City. Adam Young is one of the smartest people on this entire planet. And he did everything right, and no one knows who he, or no one talks about him. Because I know this show is centered around hip hop. I know, but if you're talking about Minnesota music, and you're talking about someone who came up in the last 10 years and really made it to the top, why are you talking about someone like that? Think about it.
Because we're trash?
It's in your point of view, right? in my point of view, hearing all those instruments and what he prints into the composition, I love it.
At least you
like,
said it.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. A lot of people have that ideology. But like, he was very fucking successful in that niche.
For sure.
A lot of people think the same thing about Charisma.
I mean, was he though?
Absolutely.
They had one song.
That one song though went fucking, it was a diamond record.
That's cool.
Diamond.
Where's he at?
We're talking like Eminem Diamond.
Where's
like,
he at though? Yeah, but Eminem did Diamond like his whole career. He did Diamond yesterday.
Now we're comparing, but I'm saying like, if we're talking about who's reached that stature, he's one of the few from the state that's done it other than Prince and the greats. He's in a whole different
realm. Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis have done it endless amounts of times. This is where the conversation is going to change because here's something that bothers me. And I think we talked about this on the last episode too, is we are such fucking trash at recognizing the fucking producers.
Yep.
We have multiple, many.
Yep. I mentioned him last time, Stephen Franks.
Stephen Franks.
He you just know who he is?
Yes.
Ariana Grande's entire album.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Executive produced. Yes.
And written.
Rocky, who worked with Kendrick, won a Grammy with Kendrick Lamar.
He won a Grammy for sure.
Cardo Got Wings is out here producing for everybody.
Right.
Bobby Raps, Krishan. Yes. Like, why?
Simon, you know.
Simon, I mean.
The list goes on with
fuck
producers.
Fuck these rappers, bro. Let's talk about these producers. Let's talk about the producers that we.
That's the conversation.
The labels, too.
That's people here that are in the fucking labels. Like
Ryan, Fats, like, yeah.
I mean, 300 ENT. Yeah. Like, come on, what the fuck? They're all right here.
And if people really.
Entertainment lawyers, attorneys.
If people really think that Ryan is not out here putting on for Minnesota.
No, he is.
You got to check yourself, or you got to talk to him, because
that's one thing. Is I was actually, I've reached out to him. I would love to talk to that man, because he is like the definition of what I'm talking about, and he's someone I aspire to be, because the business side of shit, he's just like, it's second nature.
Yeah.
So I'm like, fuck, like that's why I even linked up with Cato, is because Cato, some things to him are just second mm-hmm. nature when it comes mm-hmm. to business. And that's, they operate on a whole different level. And a lot of my podcast, Kev's perspective, the whole point is to talk about your perspective. And that's why I like The Clash, but it's also to talk about the operators in the field that we're in. And like you said, there's a lot of operators that you're talking about, the producers that are just murdering shit, but the rappers are the front face of everything, right? That's why Bobby Rap still raps, is because he knows it's beneficial to what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like Modson produces and he's published books and like he's the back end of a lot of shit. That's why he's successful. When people ask,
like, he's from here. Like
Mod's from Bloomington.
From here, right?
Yeah, he's straight up from here. Yeah. And so when he's published books for Riff, he's published books for himself, he's published books for Bella Thorne. Like he does a lot on the back end to make his money. His music just now started making money. Mm-hmm. And he admitted that to me in the back and in my podcast. He was like, dude, I was selling weed to get to the point where I'm at. Once I got the opportunity, I did all the back end work and then I became an artist.
Yeah.
Right. So that's where I think a lot of people got to do is that's the whole point of what I'm saying with this whole podcast. Focus on the business to the back end. That's where you can really understand how to be successful on the front end as a brand.
Yeah. I would agree with you. I just think the only thing that I would like people to walk away from this with is don't fall into the trap of getting discouraged by thinking that Minnesota has to do this like big, like we are the world thing. Like there are artists out here. There are producers out here that are doing things the right way. Focus on them.
Yeah.
Like focus on them. Stop focusing on the little Facebook beefs and the, I'm the best rapper. No, I'm the best rapper. Yeah. Like bitch, none of you are the best rapper. Like
putting on for Minnesota. Right. Okay. People have done that. It's right. Just focus on your music.
Until you reach, let's say Drake levels, you're not the best rapper.
No.
And if you think that being the best rapper in Minnesota is something to fucking hang your hat on, then fine.
You're right. If that's your goal, right? Because my ultimate goal is just to
land 10,000 rappers. Yeah. If you're the best, I guess that's pretty
good. And y'all can argue.
What's funny is when I heard that, land 10,000 rappers, for years I've been saying the land 10,000 dick riders. Because a lot of people, with Waterwave, for example, a lot of people try to catch Waterwave's wave, right? They literally were like, oh, I want to do what you're doing. And they've built this whole infrastructure. And when I walked in and he showed me the entire structure of Waterwave, I was like, how many people have tried to just hop on? And he's like, too many to count. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying is that's what I don't like, and that's what I see a lot of.
That's another example of unity, though.
His fault of naming it the wave, water wave, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shit.
Of course you're going to have a bunch of surfers.
Right. But I agree, dude. That's one thing, I guess, to wrap it up. That's what I wanted to say was that, you know, don't get discouraged with the work, but at the end of the day, like, also don't fall into the slippery slope of what you were talking about, which is, like, you're trying to be the best. You're trying to put on. That's not your goal. Your goal is to make money in the industry. My only goal was to make this, whatever I'm doing in the music, a full-time job. I'm actually pivoting. Like, starting when COVID's over, yeah, I'll be doing shows. But, like, I'm trying to pivot into the marketing and do Facebook marketing for artists, because that's where a lot of the money is to be made, is to do that. Because a lot of words are thrown around in music, marketing, advertising, and entrepreneurship, but no one knows what that means until you actually risk it and do it. And that's what I'm doing. I quit a corporate job to do this. And like I'm 50-50 now. Like I take that whole Gary Vee rule of like you're 100% corporate, 0% your hobby, and then slowly flip it. Don't just, it's not going to work if you do it drastically. And that's where I'm at. It's been a 5-year process of me just trying to alternate and work full time in the music industry. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yep. I want people to allow our music scene to grow.
Yes.
Stop trying to stunt the growth of our music scene.
In hip hop in particular.
It is growing. Let's nurture it, take care of it, and let it grow, because it's gonna happen.
Yep.
Like it might take another 5 years, but it's gonna happen. Like you think Atlanta just popped overnight, all of a sudden Atlanta was this hotbed for music? No. All the shit that we're going through right now, they had to go through too.
Mm-hmm.
All the shit that we're going through now,
it took Outkast to get the attention from the rest of the nation.
Yep.
I don't know if that's a good example.
Why?
Because they were popping when they were like 17.
No, yeah, but look at what they did to get New York's respect and everybody else. Straight up got on the fucking awards. And we ain't going fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
We're here. listen. Make a statement. Guess what? All of them were their fans.
So the South got something to say too.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're right. But I mean, so that is actually a good example right there. Like Big Boy and Andre getting on stage and what was it, 94, 95?
Super long time ago.
And he said the South got something to say too. And like, that was Atlanta then. Mm-hmm. 94, now here we are in 2020, and everybody's like, Atlanta's the hotbed. Atlanta, we want to be like Atlanta. Like, let's just be like Minnesota.
Yep.
And just give it time.
You use the connections you have here and take the opportunity.
And when Taylor J gets the opportunity to be at the BET Awards in 2022, mm-hmm. get on stage and say, Minnesota got something to say too.
Mm-hmm.
Take over.
But if he doesn't, just to let you know, if he doesn't, that is no, like, he has no obligation.
No, he has no obligation.
That's what I'm, that's the whole point of this. Was like, no one has an obligation to do that. Lizzo doesn't have an obligation to come back here and say, let's put on for these people. Because she actually
except for maybe Nerdy. She should help.
I think that'd be a cool collaboration.
Such a dope fucking collab. I saw
that. Yeah, I did see that. Nerdy's a super cool person in general. I remember when I first met him, I was like, can I do anything for you? I'll put you on a show for free, anything. And I've offered him several. He's been like respectfully declined.
He'll be right here in a couple weeks.
Good, dude. Very cool person. Again. Shouts out to Nerdy, bro. Very cool person.
Yeah, he's a super dope
dude. I wanted to have him back at the time when the George Floyd trial
starts. Yeah.
Because I know he's going to have a lot to say about that.
Yeah.
And he's been definitely...
He's a very well-educated person on that, too. Good person to have him on.
Yeah, he's been on the streets the whole time while that shit was going on.
Made a benefit, and company, everything.
Yep.
Cool.
Let our scene grow. Let it grow. I promise you it's going to happen.
Support way, the people that are doing the right thing. Way too much
talent. We got way too much talent.
Yeah.
And these youngins, too, like, even if it's not your bag, fuck your bag. Because...
Fuck your bag. I'm gonna tie this whole episode. Fuck your bag.
Because the shit that the kids like, we got some kids here doing that shit at a very high level, and they know how to do all this shit themselves.
And if you took anything from this episode, maybe even reach out and ask questions, and don't try to take. Just ask questions. If anything, you should be taking is knowledge from the people that you guys are talking about.
Yeah, and I mean I guess the last thing I'll say is there's a difference between following trends and taking advantage of what you're being shown. Don't just jump on a wave, but if you see somebody doing something that looks like something that you kind of want to do, then follow that blueprint. And it don't mean copy their whole career, copy their whole style, but like follow that blueprint.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Keep your eyes on the people that are doing shit that looks to be working.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that. Like, we wouldn't be where we are with this if I didn't pay attention to what Joe Budden's doing.
Yeah.
If I didn't pay attention to what Charlemagne's doing, if I didn't pay attention to what Andrew Schultz is doing, Joe Rogan is doing, like if I didn't pay attention to this shit, we wouldn't know what the fuck we're doing. We'd look like two fucking dolphins humping a football. Like what? we'd look like idiots. We'd be drowning out here. You know what I mean? But we've got to pay attention to the trendsetters. Pay attention to who's doing shit that works.
And that's actually where Kev's perspective even came from. The whole podcast was a mixture of you guys and a mixture of Twin City Tone. When I saw what you two were doing, I was like, well, I can do something similar but in a different fashion. Yeah. That's all I'm doing.
And we need more media. We still need way, like, look, podcasts are popping up left and right.
Yep.
We still need more.
Yep.
A lot more.
We need more consistent ones.
And they're coming. I mean, it's happening.
Yeah, I'm only on episode 30. I'm in my infancy and I know that. Yeah. Like I think I heard a stat. Most podcasts don't last past episode 20. I think that's what it was.
Probably sounds about right to me.
Yeah.
Yep.
And man, just seeing where they can start from where we started from. Fuck.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. It was easy for me. And like, it's also easier when like you have certain connections too. You know what I mean? Like my podcast.
Especially when you got a music background, understanding the whole engineering side of everything.
Yeah. My podcast grew when I had Mod on episode 9. And he was like, I know this is going to grow your podcast. I know you ain't shit. So here you go. He basically gave me a handout. And I was like, appreciate it. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? But back to your point, I guess, like when you have that leverage, use it and exploit it as much as you can.
Uncle Jay gave us many handouts.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have interviewed Busy Bone. We wouldn't have interviewed Redman. We wouldn't have interviewed Dizzy Wright, Devin the Dude, fucking Ritz. We wouldn't have gotten none of those interviews without him. So, and he didn't have to do that shit. He had no obligation. But I don't know. I think he's pissed off at me now, but he cared about our music scene here enough to be like,
I still talk to him consistently.
Oh, good for you.
Fuck your bag.
Ask him why he's hating on me.
Fuck your bag.
I'm just kidding. I don't really care.
That's ominous. All
right. That's perfect.
Appreciate the combo, guys. That was fun. That was fun as fuck.
Thank you, everybody, for all the love you've been showing to Kev's Perspective. I hope you guys pick up the gems that are being dropped in these conversations. Please go subscribe to the podcast on YouTube, Kev's Perspective. Again, don't forget that comma. Go to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review on the very bottom. I'd love to hear your feedback. And for any kind of guests you want to hear on the podcast, go follow me on Instagram. It's at Kev's Perspective Podcast. Again, it's at Kev's Perspective Podcast. Thank you for listening and keep supporting. Cheers.